Thank you again, church family, for being here in the house of God. And I say that every Sunday because I enjoy seeing you. I enjoy preaching the Word of God to you, sharing the Word of God to you. Because you know, a lot of times when I'm preaching this Word, even during the week, as all this unfolds day after day, you know, this is for me. You know, I said at the house, hey, I need this. Anybody else, when you come here on a Sunday morning, anybody else need the Word of God? You need it? You need some Word this morning? You know, we gather one time a week in the house of God. And I remember over at Faith, I used to go Wednesday night. I used to go Sunday morning. I used to go Sunday night. But then, after I got going out on my own, I guess, where God would lead me, you know, I got to where I would go on Sunday morning. That was about it. But Dudley used to preach, if you're not coming during the week, or if you're not getting anything during the week, then you know, by the Sunday, from Sunday to Sunday, your spiritual batteries are just about dead. So I was trying to crank one of my mowers yesterday, and you know what it was doing? It was going click, 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 click. And I knew automatically what was wrong. One of the batteries were about shot. But you know, unless you crank that thing and run it and charge it. See, our batteries need to be, our spiritual batteries need to be charged. Mine does every day. Mine gets drained. So you got to charge your spiritual battery. So thank you for coming this morning. This is an opportunity for you to be spiritually charged this morning and to leave out of the house of God spiritually empowered by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, by God Himself. So, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like to ask you to turn into the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 13. I want to read that one verse to you this morning. Philippians, chapter 4, and verse 13. Now listen, I'm a man that think I can do everything. Anybody else? Is there anybody in here that think they can do everything? Anybody? I feel like some days, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm told I can't do everything. In my mind, I think and believe that I can do everything. There's nothing I can't do. But then there's times that I realize I've taken on too much and I can't do everything. But you know, that's why this scripture came to me this week. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I want to read it to you this morning. And you see what it says. It says, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Him. It doesn't say, I can do all things through Philip. It says, I can do all things through Him. That means God who gives us strength. See, God this morning is the one, is the only one that gives you and I the strength that we need every day to get through every day. You know, there's days that I get to and I think, man, how did I get through that day? How did I get through all this today? And that's the answer right there. God is the one that gets us through every day. But because it's by His strength. He gives us His strength, His power, His ability. And I've often said this. I've often wondered about this and thought about this, contemplated about this. How did I ever make it through the day before without God? And I want to be honest with you. I barely did. I barely did on my own strengths. Anybody else? I know it seems like days that situations come up and we think, man, how are we going to get through this? Well, that's simple. If you're a child of God this morning, you know, where is your joy this morning? Where does your joy lie? If your joy lies within the world, then it's not much joy, because that's a temporary joy. The world and the things of the world are temporary. They don't last but just for a short while. But if your joy is in the Lord, if your true joy is in the Lord this morning, if your heart is devoted in God this morning, if your desires are devoted in God this morning, That's how you get your strength. That's where your main strength comes from. That's where your main power comes from. That's where your main joy comes from. It's from God. Can you say amen to that this morning, church family? That's where it comes from. No other place. God, I remember used to, way back when, 13, 15 short years ago. I say 15 years ago was way back when. Now, 50 years is way back when. But I call 15 years now. That's how long I've been a Christian, 15 years. Way back when. Back in the old days. And they were old days. And I reminisce sometimes about the old days. Not about going back to the old days. Not going back living the old days of the life that I used to live. But I reminisce about the old days, the old ways, the old me. That's dead. Amen. Listen, when you look back about, even in your own life, when you look back and you say, man, I remember those days, they're dead. They're gone. They're no more. You're not that person no more. That person's long gone. The old Phil, he's long gone. He's done forgotten. Well, he ain't really forgotten about. But God brings it back to my remembrance sometimes. That's how you used to be. No joy, no peace, no power, no authority. You didn't claim anything. You was negative about everything. You tested everything. You tried to do everything on your own. You tried to figure out everything on your own. You tried to find your own type of peace. You can't find your type of peace in the world that only God can give. Only God can give you the peace that you need. If you know what hinders your spiritual growth? You know who hinders my spiritual growth? Me. Amen. That's the person that hinders your spiritual growth. If you're not growing in the Lord today, then you need to ask yourself why. If you got hindrances in your life today, then you need to ask yourself why. See, I've been told many times over the past few short years, man, I thought, man, nothing's ever going to change. You ever felt like that? Nothing's ever going to change. I get up days, I say, nothing's ever going to change. It's always going to be the same old stuff. I'm going to have to deal with the same old stuff every day. But until I realized that I've got to hand that stuff over to the Lord, guess what those are? Those things that we try to hold on to, those things that we try to place in our hands or carry on our shoulders, they are called hindrances. And when you have hindrances in your spiritual life, you're not going to grow. You're not going to grow spiritually. As a matter of fact, you might even fall away from the Lord. And many have because of their hindrances, because of their roadblocks, because of their barriers. They have fallen away from the Lord. They say, what's the use? What's the use of trying to place my faith and trust in the Lord? Nothing's ever going to change. But I'm reminded of what God's Word says. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Just taste and see that He's good. Let God show you what He can do. You know, God is not a genie in a bottle. I don't know. I tell people that. They look at me kind of funny like, well, God's not a genie in a bottle. You know, God. When I found God, or maybe He found me, I don't know which one. I think God found me because I wasn't really looking for God. When I was out in the world, I wasn't looking for God. I wasn't looking for Christ. I didn't care about no crucifixion. I didn't care about no tomb. Easter meant nothing to me. Can you believe that coming from a preacher this morning? Can you believe that? Now people say, how do you know God's real? How do you know all this ain't just some baloney, maloney, whatever? How do you know that Bible's real? What makes you so sure? Well, you're looking at a man that's a minister now, and I'm standing up here telling you that one time in my life I didn't care about nothing, about God, about preachers. If I'd have met Brother Hewlin probably 20 years ago, I wouldn't have cared about him. Brother Dudley, all the pastors I've made friends with over the years, they meant nothing to me. Not a thing. That's how I know God's real. That's how I know God lives inside of me. The Holy Spirit is inside of me. Because my desires now are for God. You say, well, that's just a coincidence. That's not a coincidence. That's the workings of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God this morning. That's the workings of God. That's the true workings of God. You know what? If you want to listen, you need to tell somebody this week. My pastor told me, how can I show you God's real? Let me tell you. The true workings of God is the fruits that we are producing every day unto the Lord. I'm not producing fruits unto myself. All my works are in vain. Everything that I do on my own is in vain. But the things that I do in the Lord, proclaiming the Lord, proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the Holy Spirit, proclaiming the Son of God, those are the fruits of the gospel. Those are the fruits of my life, that they are producing the workings of God. And that's why I'm able to go out into the streets. Listen, I don't preach just here. I don't preach just here. But like I said, people don't want to hear no preacher. A lot of people you meet, they don't want to hear no preacher. Oh, they'll talk to you. They'll tell you things. But when you start telling them about the Word of God, the workings of God, the fruits of the labor, you see how quickly they'll want to get away from you. Preacher or no preacher, you'll see how quickly they'll want to get away from you. And I said, man, I don't want to talk to that guy. He gives me the creeps. He gives me the chill bumps. He makes me feel funny. You know, that ain't me doing that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit works. It's called conviction. That's what it is. See, that's why I didn't like preachers. That's why I wouldn't step foot into a church until Pam came along. But the conviction is so strong. The conviction is so strong. It'll do things to you. Let me just say that. It'll keep you up at night. It'll keep you walking the floor sometimes. But then, when repentance comes, listen, church family, when repentance comes, sin will hinder your faith life. Amen? Do you agree with that? Sin will hinder your faith life. It doesn't matter if it's a small sin or a ginormous sin. It will hinder your faith life. It will hinder your spiritual growth. That's what sin does its best. That's its best work. Satan would love to hinder you this morning. He would love to hinder me. You know how many days I come home from work and I don't want to watch TV. I don't want to watch Facebook. I get on Facebook every once in a while, but I hardly ever watch TV, not unless I'm very, very tired or sick. If I'm laying around, something's wrong with me. But Satan will do other avenues. He'll use other avenues to distract me. He'll use the TV. He'll use the phone. He'll use the kids running in and out of the house. He'll use, who knows, sirens going by. You know, what do you do when you hear a siren? First thing you do, you stop doing whatever you're doing. You're looking to see if it's an ambulance or a police car. That's what I do at work. I hear a siren in the distance going by. I can hear it coming. And I automatically stop doing what I'm doing. And I'm distracted because I'm wondering if that's an ambulance or a police car going by. And you know what I do when I see the ambulance go by? I say a little short prayer. You know what I do when I see a police car go by? I say a little short prayer. Why? That's the workings of God. That's the workings of the Holy Spirit. Now, maybe you don't do that. Well, that's okay. But that's telling you that's just what I do. All right, let's move on. So listen, you know, we've preached about this a zillion times probably. Probably said this a zillion times. But our joy comes from knowing that our power and victory is in the Lord and not ourselves. So as long as you know that, as long as you believe that, then there's no hindrances that's going to come up against you. And when they do, you'll be able to denounce them. When they do, you'll be able to say, ha, you're not getting in front of me. You know what? Like that person that, you know, you fight over that good parking spot at Walmart. You ever done that? Nobody. Nobody in here. You see, you're over on this aisle. Now listen, this is a good analogy right here. You're over here on this aisle, and you're looking over there, and you're praying already. If you're like me, you're praying for a good spot up close. He said, and I've been in the car with Pam many times. And I said, Lord, give us a good spot to park. I don't want to park way down on the very end, walk 10 miles over to the store. And then you look over on the other aisle, and I said, there's one right there. And I mean, you're speeding over there, and guess what? You see another car. You see another car coming in there trying to steal your spot. And what do? You gas it. You're trying to beat that guy over there to get that spot because you know that's where he's going. And you know if he gets in that spot, you're going to park way down there. And that, you say, man, that's a hindrance. That's how hindrances work. And next thing you know, you're getting out of your cars. Now, I know anybody done this. You're getting out of your, and it's people blowing their horns. You know, don't be doing no gestures now because that wouldn't be good. And you're yelling out the window, I got here first. No, you didn't. You should have got it. You know, you don't need to be doing that. Nobody's ever done that probably. That guy just stole my spot. But see, that's how sin does. Sin sees an opening, and guess what it does? It tries to swoop right in there to get the good parking spot. Next thing you know, you got a hindrance. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. Well, man, I'm going to do something about that. I've been in that situation many times. Just being an honest pastor. Man, that guy, I'm going to catch up with him. I'm going to say a few things to him. That's a hindrance. And say, you know what? I'm just going to bless you in the name of the Lord. Just bless you and go on about your business. Because sometimes it can get you in trouble. As I found out many times. You don't want that. Okay. So is this good so far? Anybody getting anything? I see a lot of smiles out there. But listen, I'm not the only one. I know I'm not. But listen. Okay. So let's move on a little bit right here. So over in Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, I want to read this verse of scripture to you and what it says and elaborate on that just for a minute. So it says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, we who are strong ought to bear the fallings of the weak, not to please ourselves. We should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. And that's in Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. I want to read that one more time in case you didn't get it. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1 says, we who are strong ought to bear the fallings of the weak, not to please ourselves. We should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. Now, I want to elaborate on that scripture just for a minute. Hopefully a minute. Christ, when you think about Christ, think about what kind of life he lived. Christ didn't live a life to please himself, did he? No. He lived a self-denying life. He lived a self-sacrificing life. He lived a life to help others. He lived a life to show that he loved others as much as his Father did. And he did that, as you know, he did that unto his Father, because that was the will of God, that he be sent in the first place to live a life that was self-denying, self-sacrificing, but full-serving, to lift up, to build up. Listen, you're looking at a weak man at one time. I was a weak man at one time. And I remember very well the days that people, my friend that lived a block over from me. See, I'm in his gratitude this morning. I'm always in his gratitude because I was weak. I was a weak individual living in the flesh, living for the flesh and the desires of the flesh. If there was anybody that was any more sinful in this life on this planet, it was me at that time. But this guy took the Word of God and would read it to me, not just talk to me about it. He would not tell me what he thought I should do, but he would just pick random scripture that the Lord led him to read, and he would read it to me as I was sitting in his house, talking, doing whatever it would be doing or talking at that time. And then the next time I would see him, the same thing. He was building me up. He was lifting me up, helping me up to get me to become stronger. And now look at me today. So what has this got to do with you this morning? You say, well, preacher, that's fine with you, but what has that got to do with me? It's got everything to do with you this morning. There's weaker people out there that need our help. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? There's weaker people out there. You're strong this morning. If you're in the Lord this morning, if you're devoted fully in the Lord this morning, guess what? You're strong this morning. But our responsibility is to live a self-sacrificing, a self-denying life that we could share the word of the Lord with those who are weaker than us. Amen? To share the gospel with them, to lift them up, to build them up, not to tear them down. Now listen, I've been guilty of that in the past. People done wrong to me. I felt like they've done wrong to me and my family. I want to tear them down. But that's our carnal mind. That's how the carnal mind works. That's how this fleshly body wants to work. Now, how can you be good to your neighbor? Does that mean you got to go over there and cook them supper and tuck them in at night at bed? I mean, what does that mean? You can be good to your neighbor. How can you build up your neighbor today for their own good? Well, I can tell you how. You don't even have to see them. You say, well, I thought you just said we got to build up our neighbor. We got to love them. We got to do good unto them for their own good. You do. Simply by praying for them. Amen? We can pray for our enemies. How you gonna win an enemy unto the Lord? By praying, by lifting their name up. By lifting their name up every day, praying for them unto God. Devote that person in your heart unto the Lord. Devote that your neighbor unto the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, touch that person. Lord, fill that person with love. I wonder how many people pray for me. I wonder how many people dislike me, but they pray for me anyway. I wonder how many people I hurt or I disappointed, but they prayed for me anyway. They built me up. They lifted me up because they knew I was weak. And now look at me today. Now I'm standing up here, the shoe's on the other foot, and now I'm saying, hey, I'm that guy now. I'm that guy that's strong. I'm that guy that's devoted in the Lord. I'm that guy that's committed in the Lord. I'm that guy today trying to lift up those that are weaker than me. Now, if they listen, that's not, you know, I can't do nothing about it if they don't listen to me. But I'll just turn it over to the Lord and let the Lord do the workings. I can't do the work without the Lord's help. But if I turn it over to the Lord and let Him do the works through me, God can do all things. Anybody believe that this morning? You think God can do all things through you? I know He can. Because He's proved it to me time and time again. Okay, one more thing. One more thing. You know what I think about you this morning? Everybody's looking like, what's he going to say now? You know what I think about you this morning? I think exactly what Paul wrote right here in Romans 15:14. I think you are filled with God's goodness. Amen? Do you feel that way? Do you feel like you're filled with God's goodness? I know you are. You got to be. I'm going to read that verse to you. Let's read it. And then I'm going to touch on that and I'm going to close. So Paul writes, he says in Romans 15, verse 14, he says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintances with the gospel. Well, I may have wrote that down wrong. Probably did write that down wrong. Oh, no wonder. I'm not even in Romans. I'm still in Philippians. But Paul writes, let me get over to the book of Romans real quick. Right here we go. Romans chapter 15 and verse 14 says this. See, even pastors make mistakes sometimes. And it says, and if Christ had not been raised, I mean, I'm having trouble today. I want to read a lot of different scriptures to you. Can I just keep reading scriptures to you this morning? My eyes are not focusing this morning for something, some reason. Now then, let's try it one more time. Third time's a charm. Romans 15 and verse 14 says this, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another." And I want to stop right there. Listen, I want to tell you something this morning. God has filled you and I with all His goodness. Amen? You have every good fruit that God could possibly pour in you this morning. You are filled with the knowledge of God. You say, "Well, I don't know about that." Well, listen, I'm not the smartest person on the face of the earth, but I do know this, and I believe this, that I am filled with all of God's goodness. I am filled with a knowledge of God. And listen, I am able. And now, what does that word admonish mean? What does that word mean? That means that God has given us the ability to lift up our brothers and sisters gently and merciful as we give them advice, encouragement. Because there's a world of people out there that need encouragement. There's a world of people out there that need advice and guidance, counsel. And we are the ones that can do it. And you know why? Thus saith the Word of God. That is the workings of the Lord. Amen? So now then, are you glad you got up and came to church today? Now, y'all can talk about that little parking spot later on today. But listen, it's all right. The Lord's good. And He supplies all our needs. And I do believe that. And I'm going to close in prayer with that this morning. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, it's so good to be in Your house this morning. Lord, thank You for this word. Lord, thank You for that, for just pouring out Your Holy Spirit in Your house today, Heavenly Father. God, it's good to be able to laugh in Your house today. And it's good to be able to cry in Your house, Heavenly Father. There's no shame in crying. There's no shame in laughing, Heavenly Father. But God, Your word says, "Though that profess You before men, You profess before Your Father, Heavenly Father." So God, that's what we're doing here today. That's what we need to do every day as we go out of the church walls, this church house today, God, back out on the streets and the highways, God, and the byways, wherever we go, Heavenly Father. Lord, we need to be professing Your Son, Jesus Christ. We need to be professing, God, Your word, Heavenly Father. Lord, we need to be building up the weak. Lord, we need to be lifting up Your name, Heavenly Father. God, Your word says that if You be lifted up, You draw all men unto You, Heavenly Father. So God, continue to fill our hearts with Your desire, Your zest, Heavenly Father. God, fill us with the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father. God, fill us with a fire that we just cannot contain, Heavenly Father. God, it's all right if people don't like us out there in the world. It's all right if they don't like us, Lord, talking about You. It's all right if they don't like us talking about and professing the word, Your word. But God, just help us do it anyway, Heavenly Father. And Lord, let the conviction fall where it may. And Lord, those that when they feel that conviction, God, and they repent of their sins, Heavenly Father, Lord, that hindrance will be removed from their lives, Heavenly Father. And God, it'll be removed and just cast out, Heavenly Father, and it'll be filled with Your goodness and knowledge, Lord. So God, I pray today that there be anybody that's in this house today, Lord, if there be anybody watching on Facebook today, Heavenly Father, that has any kind of hindrances in their life, any kind of hindrances in their faith, their walk with You today, Lord, I just pray, Lord, right now by the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, and the power of Jesus Christ today, Lord, that it be removed today, Heavenly Father, and cast out, Heavenly Father, and Lord, that it be replaced with Your goodness. And Lord, help us to always remember that the battle is not ours, but it's Yours, Heavenly Father. And let us not be discouraged or afraid, Lord, but let us turn those battles over to You, God, and let You fight them as we stand back and watch and see that You will conquer those battles for us, Lord, and we'll be claimed the victors in those battles through You and by You, Heavenly Father. And God, we love You this morning. We love Your Son, Jesus Christ, and we humbly ask all this now in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, I don't know your heart today. Only God does. But as we sing our final hymns today, you don't know the Lord today, today would be a good day to know Him. Today would be a good day to start a new life in the Lord through Jesus Christ. As we sing our final hymn, "Come forth if the Lord leads you."